So it would seem that any neoclassical movement, being in the nature of a revival, implies something therapeutic, answering a need for revivification, right? But that's exactly the need we've been finding all along, that sickness unto death that has attended this century since its inception. In other words, by the time the post-war 20s arrived, the ground was all prepared for Stravinsky's neoclassicism, starting with that new objectivistic reaction to the excesses of the late 19th century Romanticism. Even among those late Romantics themselves, there was already a flicker of interest in the neo. Strauss, for instance, was tuning into Molière's world with his bourgeois gentilhomme. Reger, even, was writing mammoth variations on Mozart. Even Busoni, Casella, Respighi were all convinced that they were somehow neoclassicists. And, of course, the young Prokofiev had already written his elegant classical symphony. So there was an all-round reawakened interest in Bach, Handel, Haydn, and other so-called classicists who had been all but swept away in the romantic undertow. And those bracing tonal fresheners were all standing ready to help. All those exciting syntactic breakups and pile-ups that we've been examining. Plus, the chic, sophisticated new focal point of Paris, with all its enfants terribles, Apollinaire, Cocteau, Picasso, Nijinsky, and the whole dizzy world of Diaghilev, all of this just waiting for Igor Stravinsky to come along and tie it up into a neat neoclassic package, which is exactly what he did. And here it is, that exquisite, dry, neo-Bachian octet from 1923. It's chic, it's asymmetrical, it's just dissonant enough. A witty linguistic transformation of Bach into Stravinsky.